I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. All the English sides are through in the Champions League. The FA Cup is back this weekend, and there's a little dollop of Premier League too. Welcome, everybody. They say that we're leaving Europe. Well, those English football sides are staying in Europe, aren't they?
Yeah, they're voting with their feet.
Absolutely.
And their goals.
I haven't thought about how that might affect English teams in the Champions League.
We've only got 45 minutes.
Yeah, all four teams disqualified, straight to the semi-finals. Yeah. Everyone's got a bye to the next round. Oh, my giddy. I tell you something. I think, was it been since about 2009 since we've had this amount of English teams in the quarterfinals?
Is that right?
I think so.
I feel like, it's either 08 or 09. I can't remember off the top of my head,
four
but it's been a while.
Them, Pete. Four. Yeah. Four of them.
Count them now.
Yeah.
One, un, deux, trois, quatre.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Four. Yeah, you know it. You've obviously been aware of the situation. Liverpool joined Manchester City, Manchester United, and Spurs. Mm.
What an impressive win as well.
Didn't Bayern Munich look so slow and plodding?
They did.
It
looked like when a band come back and perform a classic album 30 years later.
What, everything seems a bit slower?
Yeah, and they got back.
Because
minus the whole nostalgia, and isn't it nice to see them again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just happy they're back together.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's nice that Bayern aren't firing on all cylinders, the home fans won't be saying.
I also want to know what the mindset is of Mr. Franck Ribéry.
Yes.
Who is 35 years old, I checked, and has a number 7 shaved into the side of his head. And not only that, then gets subbed off during a big Champions League knockout game. Mm-hmm. You just think, mate, why are you getting a number 7 shaving your side of him? You're 35. I'm looking at you, Pete.
He had a very good game last game, though, hadn't he? He'd provided a couple of assists.
Beat Wolfsburg 6-0.
Mm. Yeah, but didn't he recently...
Yeah, well, exactly. Fair enough.
Didn't he recently get in trouble because he was really bullish about having eaten a giant golden steak?
Yeah, with Salt Bay.
Yeah, very much sort
he told
of in
everyone
character,
to do himself, it? Do themselves or something.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed, there was a tweet going around showing, I think it was Joshua Kimmich, was it, who very much celebrated in Mane's face at Anfield when he tackled him.
Right.
And he was, have some of that, you know, in a really sort of wanky way.
Yeah.
And Mane's, I can't imagine Mane ever getting involved in a bit of chat or a bit of nastiness.
Gets involved in some goals, mate.
Well, hasn't
he? 10 in 10.
That first goal.
Yeah, that beauty.
Was, yeah, the
What's
more you
Neuer
see,
doing?
The better it gets.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Neuer, going for a little jog.
Neuer's been involved in some sort of body swap comedy.
I think so. Yeah. If you're on a wayside in the Champions League and you're in the situation Liverpool were in, drawn 0-0 the first leg, and you get a goal, they need to score 2 and all that. That's exactly what you want the opposition goalkeeper to be doing.
100%. And Mane is on the left side of the penalty area as he's facing the goal. Defenders covering him, and the keeper just as Owen Hargreaves rightly said in the broadcast. Keeper stays in the goal. There's not really any danger at all.
Yeah.
It's almost like Manuel Neuer thought, "This is what I do.
Yeah.
I'm the front runner of these sweeper keepers. Yeah, I'm the original on the best. I love you, baby. The original. And this is what the sort of thing I would do.
Yeah.
So I'm doing it.
Do you think maybe though that Mane had so much to do to score from there, and he happened to execute it perfectly.
Oh, it was amazing.
Maybe Neuer was thinking that he's not going to be able to do
it. It was a very good finish. Everyone got very excited about the touch, and I thought the touch was pretty ordinary, but the finish, I thought, was just steering it past two players on the line. I thought it was wonderful.
I thought they're both good. I
don't think equally good?
I don't think you've ever done a touch like that in your whole life, and you play football every week.
I don't play football every week, but I reckon on occasion I've done something good by accident.
Fair enough.
I love it how that was like an ace up your sleeve. Well, you've never done anything like that. You play football. I don't play football. football every weekend.
Play once a fortnight.
I have done that.
And that's
before.
Why I've never had one of those touches. If I've played more,
and
than...
I never get off the bench.
There is something really horrible about doing something brilliant by accident, and everyone thinks you did it on purpose. I scored the sweetest header I've ever scored in my life once, and I didn't even know about it. And
it was
amazing.
I've done that before.
I can't feel good about it.
I remember there's a guy who literally still plays football now, and he was born in 1966, and he played for our Sunday League team. Still plays
good year for
pretty regularly. Ancient chap. And he came over. He's a German doctor.
We've played him before.
Yeah, we know. He wears the glasses with the thing on it.
Yeah, he's still playing. He's still playing.
Good on him.
He came over and he went, "You're scoring goals like an angel, Pete."
Really?
It was wonderful.
So he's 53 years old now.
Yeah.
It's not ancient, is it?
He plays on the wing.
Keeping you at the team.
Yeah, massively.
He's the oldest winger in town. Yeah. Have we got an update on Dickie Borthwick?
Yeah, he was the... and I think we all know the inevitable catches up with us all in the end. Dickie Borthwick, a 78-year-old football player.
Who
we talked about 12 years ago. He may have gone the way of the...
Great name, though.
Yeah, definitely.
We need more Dickie Borthwick.
What were you
going to
say there? The dinosaur.
He may have gone the way of some other people
Keepers
who have died.
Not wearing gloves.
yeah.
But it was a great win for Liverpool nonetheless.
It was.
Old JK getting one over his old rivals.
It played into their hands because as soon as that goal happened, as you rightly alluded to there, Bayern had to come out, and then they didn't really create any chances across the two legs, did they? That's simple as that.
It was very, very disappointing from them. And that's, I always thought Liverpool were fine at a 0-0 Anfield. Thought they'll win on away goals. They didn't need the away goals because they really were fairly comfortable.
It was like the game, the entire tie saved itself for the second half of the second leg.
Yes.
Yeah, I almost
everything
thought,
happened there.
I almost kind of thought that because Liverpool scored their own goal, I was thinking that took some of the impetus or the onus away from their opposition because they were like, oh, we haven't even scored a bloody goal.
I mean, I think, was it Lewandowski behind him?
He would have tapped
still.
It in.
Oh,
I think that the team would have got more out of Lewandowski putting it in.
I know what you mean.
Than the Liverpool
footballer. I agree with that. Lewandowski, the highest scoring foreign footballer ever to have played in the Bundesliga.
And I think he's the top scorer in the Champions League this season. Well, he was going into this game.
Yeah, you see. Still a good player. He's still a good player. But
yeah, round.
Remarkable, though. All four English sides are through, though. And they could draw each other. We could have a Manchester derby in the quarterfinal.
Yeah.
Time of recording, of course, the draw hasn't been made.
How would you guys prefer to see that fall? I'd like them to be kept apart.
I would.
I love quarter final Champions League. It's always brilliant. So whatever happens, happens. I think as ever, Man City are more likely to be undone by another English team.
I know what you mean.
And in fact, I think that's true of probably all of them bar Liverpool, I would say.
Spurs to knock out Manchester City in the quarter finals.
Be sweet for Spurs fans, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there you are. That is a prediction that won't happen. Now, let's move on to the FA Cup. Swansea are playing Manchester City. Manchester City, of course, gubbed Schalke.
They squeaked through, Marcus. Yeah.
The tie was pretty much wrapped up from the first leg, wasn't it? So
I think
that's why we saw such a lack of effort.
Did Schalke's manager have like two games to save his job, and that was one of them?
Yeah, because they're struggling in the league really badly.
Imagine that, though. They said that before the Champions League draw. Okay, you got two. Oh, we've drawn Man City. Come on. Can I not have a third? Can I not? I mean, Manchester, it was training ground stuff against Schalke. Really, really wasn't.
One booking for Schalke in that game?
Well, you know what I think of that.
Yeah.
But I think if you're a Liverpool fan, I think Liverpool was quite pleasing how the game sort of petered out a little bit against Bayern. They looked fairly comfortable. Obviously, it was a keenly contested match, but there was a danger there where you don't want extra time, you don't want it to really go to the wire. And I think they killed it off very, very well, because Manchester City, you want your opponent who's challenging you for the league title to go for an arduous game.
Yeah.
And when it's a training ground game like that, it was almost like a rest, for crying out loud.
This is the advantage City have when they get into this sort of form where they're absolutely purring and they are just dispatching teams with what looks like ease. I feel like that must be such an enjoyable experience to play in a game.
Oh, they definitely want that.
You come off energised.
They want
that. You know, and like, no one else in the running has that.
But then when you get away to Anfield in the Champions League, as we saw last season, you're used to controlling games. You go through the most, this is great, and then suddenly you have a team with pace, bang, going straight at the core of the side.
But I think City have a nice balance.
Can Swansea do that, Jim?
I'm going to go with no.
Not even...
It must be like, for Swansea, it must be like there's in a slasher movie.
Yeah.
They're coming to your town.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it.
It's the first act of a horror movie, and you are a dog.
Yeah. Bersan Celina, who took that penalty last night, he had Man City on the brain.
Yeah. That is.
It was like, if I do this, I might get dropped for that game.
Yeah. that is going on the blooper reels of penalties forever. That is one of the best bad penalties.
If you haven't
seen it,
Swansea lost a 3-0 away to West Brom last night, and he
sacking Darren Moore. The effect.
Yeah. He slipped and scuffed a Panenka.
Was he going for a Panenka?
I don't know if he's
yard.
Going. To me, it looks like I watched it again in slow motion this morning. It looks like he's doing what I've seen, and many players do this, but just springs to mind, Aubameyang do where he doesn't look at the ball, he looks at the keeper.
Do you think Aubameyang's got in his head there?
Maybe. I don't know why
there's
he would
been
have
a lot of this in the press, isn't
yeah, maybe.
Talking about that technique.
And they look for which way the keeper's going to go. So I think it might have been Rory Smith for the New York Times yesterday was saying, why do keepers not just stand there when the Panenka, it's half penalties these days are Panenkas. Well, it misses the point. The point is the top strikers wait for the keeper to move.
Yeah.
And he was trying to do that. He wasn't. If you look at it again in the replay, he's not looking at the ball. And it sounds ridiculous given he's a number 10 for a championship team. Mm. He's obviously a very good football player. He completely loses where he is and his footing gets lost a little bit. But I don't know if he is trying to Panenka it. I think he's just trying to wait for the keeper to make a move and he completely hashes it and loses where he is.
If we're going for a chat further down the league, that Carlisle goalkeeping Rick.
I haven't seen it.
Keeper rolls it out. Remember, it was a Dion Dublin and Shea Given.
Yep, that's
he
right.
He did a carbon
another
copy.
Another one of those.
Another one of those down the league. Wonderful. It was basically the same thing again.
But that, I don't remember that incident.
Shea Given throws the ball on the floor and Dion Dublin's hiding in the goal. And he throws it on the floor to do like a goal kick off the floor rather than out of his hands.
Because he thinks everyone's up the field.
Because he thinks everyone's at the field. And Dion Dublin sneaks in and puts it away. But the thing was, the same thing happened to Carlisle.
But Dion Dublin's one, if you remember, he was actually off the pitch. Mm. So that there could have been, he should have been disallowed, really.
Really?
Because he's off the pitch. He's left the pitch.
He's
left the field of play. And it's not a case of he ran off the pitch and then got back on. He stayed off the pitch.
The player in this case was literally just hugging the post.
Yeah, absolutely. It was super.
Do you guys remember Dean Saunders doing one where the goalkeeper comes out?
Throwing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goalkeeper comes out, clears the ball for a throw-in because there's a counter-attack.
Right.
And as he's running back towards his goal, Dean Saunders takes the throw-in, throws it onto the back of the goalkeeper.
Yep.
So he can take the ball takes it back and just puts it in.
It's absolutely superb. That is.
Speed of thought from Dean Saunders. Yeah,
a little bit of speed of thought.
Good striker.
Yeah.
Lovely goal.
Yeah, lovely goal. Jermaine Defoe.
As he'll forever be known now in this show. Swansea currently 15th in the Championship. They're not going to win.
They're a curious team because Graham Potter's in charge and it seemed like a pretty exciting appointment at the start.
Yeah, they've been in a bit of disarray as we spoke about Swansea before.
But the scoreline did not reflect the game against West Brom the other night.
I didn't see the game.
Swansea, I've only watched the highlights, but Swansea had a lot of chances.
Uh-huh.
And they looked pretty decent going forward, but they would just, happen to be undone by a ridiculous penalty from their own team and West Brom just being pretty effective in throwing a goal. So I think,
it's a nice draw for Man City, and Man City will probably get Porto in the next round. Not that that's an easy game.
Yeah, Swansea have got one of the best defences in the Championship, so it is surprising that they did that.
Well, can Daniel James do what he did in the last round? And
he's a very fast football player.
Devastating effect. Mm. I mean, that's basically it, isn't it, with Swansea?
Don't think Man City are going to get undone by that.
No.
They've got one really fast player. We are absolutely in big trouble here.
Yeah. We've never come up against that.
but that's what you want, though. That used to be the nice thing years and years ago when you used to watch FA Cup games when you didn't have the internet and so much stuff to be able to check out opposition and so on, and you would see like a really pacey winger playing in the lower leagues and you're like, he's got them troubled, and then he can't really control the ball very well, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's why he's playing the lower leagues and then the Premier League.
Do you remember
defender.
When Tranmere had Dave Challoner, who could take a really long throw?
I do remember that.
And the talk then, because this is sort of pre-internet, the talk then was like, well, I mean, Man United should sign him because he's just such a weapon. He's a fullback at like third or fourth tier level. He can't play at that level just because he can throw the ball really far.
What I find quite fascinating about long throw-ins and whatnot is they actually seldom are not really used that much. Even at like the level of football I've played, when someone in the opposition can absolutely launch
you it. You cannot get away with whipping a ball in with your foot. You've got to do it pacey. You can't just like sort of float one in.
Yeah.
Because in the day, like throws are kind of just above head height and they don't have any kind of pace on them. So they're not really much use because most defenders will just have that straight out.
Mm. Yeah.
Although Rory Delaps used to cause chaos in the box.
Are you saying they're not used as much as they perhaps should be?
No, I'm saying that I think they're a bit overrated.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
I think you better, especially nowadays, just to keep the ball.
Anyway, Swansea, if Swansea want to try and take on Man City by playing their really fast footballer and doing loads of big long throws. They are Swans. They are 16-1 with Bet365 to beat Man City this weekend. That's in 90 minutes, of course. £10 returns, £170, including stake.
Shouldn't that be 16-1?
Yes, could be. Put a swan on it.
The quadruple is on for Manchester City. Now, it was interesting. Guardiola spoke of them still being teenagers in the Champions League, and after the match, he said, well, they're going to get better. But he's keen to get rid of that kind of hangover from Manchester City sides of the past, being second fiddle to Man United in the city and so on. And a quadruple would be a good way of getting rid of that, yes. I think.
I agree with you, Marcus.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really disagree with that, I suppose.
No.
And with that, we'll move on. Wolves face Manchester United. Perhaps going to be a more keenly contested match than the previous one we just spoke about. Wolves nearly beat Chelsea. Stamford Bridge, of course. No, they're capable of beating, or competing at least against the bigger boys. The last time they won the FA Cup was in 1960. The last time they won a major trophy was in the League Cup in 1980. They beat, I think it was Nottingham Forest 1-0. Who scored the goal?
Steve Bull.
No, it wasn't Steve Bull.
Steve Bull?
It was Steve
Pete,
Bull.
You have a go.
Was it Stephen Bull?
No, it was Andy Gray.
Was it really?
Randy Andy.
1980 is a great year for football.
Was it?
I was born.
I wasn't there to see it.
No, you weren't. None of you were, because I'm the oldest. You wouldn't believe that, but I am.
Do we give Wolves a chance? I think we do.
Yeah,
I think we
do. Of
course,
definitely.
It's a big carrot for both teams, isn't it? A Wembley appearance, because obviously Wolves are having such a great season. They'd like to sort of, you know, have a bit of a cherry on top of that. And obviously the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer effect is so galvanising at Man United. They'll be confident at Wembley and they'll want to get there.
Jim, let's get this right. Yeah. Man United have had an amazing tradition in the FA Cup since Louis van Gaal won it in 2016.
Yep.
They need to honour that man's... He's retired this year.
He has.
They need to honour that man's memory as a football coach by trying to replicate the amazing things he achieved.
And what they have achieved. They have won a treble since then. A treble.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
They've won more trophies than you might think in the last few years, actually.
Whenever if you listen out for this, it's quite funny. Whenever you hear Danny Murphy on the radio... You know, back at the start of the century, Liverpool won three cups, FA Cup, League Cup and the UEFA Cup.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. He always refers to that as the treble.
The treble.
Yeah, when we won the treble with Liverpool.
I mean, he should say a treble. Mourinho was
very
like
much
a treble,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, Man United, they could have a cheeky double this season with the FA Cup and the Champions League. Yeah. Would you call it a cheeky double if it's involved the Champions League?
But the thing
League?
Is, traditionally, no. This is the thing. For me, the double... And
FA
sure
Cup
for you,
and League.
Yes, has to be. Yeah. The treble, FA Cup, League Cup and...
Champions League.
And Premier League. That's traditionally...
FA Cup, League Cup and Premier League?
Yeah.
Nah, domestic treble. You have to use the word domestic.
Domestic treble.
Paris Saint-Germain have won a domestic treble. Celtic have won a lot of domestic trebles
under
recently.
Under Big Brendy. So what's the... So a treble, Premier League, FA Cup and Champions League. Domestic treble, is you've made it
because
obvious.
The reason why you have to say domestic treble is because when Juventus and I think Bayern going for a treble, they don't have, I don't think in Italy they have that second cup domestic cup competition that they do here, that we do here. So a treble is unanimously considered
it's not the same.
As your two and then the big one.
But anyway, I think Wolves have got a chance, especially at home.
Yeah.
I mean, Man United have come off the back of an amazing turnaround in the Champions League, but also they were beaten, they had their chances, but Arsenal looked fairly comfortable. Arsenal are a good team at home, so Man United need to go to Wolves and do something. And Wolves seem like a really confident, quite pacey, tempo-led team at home.
I think they're going to test Man United, but I think Wolves are a bit spotty in form the last few games. They beat Cardiff 2-0, I think, but they've kind of lost against Huddersfield.
They nearly beat Chelsea, though. It was only a bit of Hazard magic at the end.
They've got Ander Herrera coming back from Man United as well, which would be a big lift for them.
Yeah, you'd think he'd be back, wouldn't you? And Mata as well. Ashley Young is suspended. So a bit bitty. But again, against Arsenal, I know what you mean, but they did create chances and they should have scored at least. And another day they might have got a point or even all three.
Well, Wolves are 23-10 to win this one in 90 minutes. £10 with Bet365 returns £33, including stake.
Lovely old job. It's now time for emails with Petey D. Say I'm the only bee in your bunny.
Not the bees! Ah! You've got mail.
Bad bees!
We've got mail. Hello to Dominic Aldridge, who's got in touch. Hi, guys. Paul Ince was on top form on Tuesday's Football Daily podcast. Highlights include referring to Serie A as the Scudetto.
Scudetto, like that.
That's nice.
Calling Ronaldo Cristiano Ronaldo. throughout.
Ooh. That's fair enough. Formal.
And the best at stating that Ronaldo goes missing in big games.
Right.
Which he obviously went on to not do.
Peter.
Evan says, hello from Australia, lads. Not sure if you guys managed to see this, but I was thinking it may be something Pete would do. Can you please confirm? Basically, a Newcastle United fan drove 110 miles to take the mick out of his son, who is an Everton fan. I showed the video to you guys before we came on air. He just goes up to the door, front door, waits for a little while. Terraced house, beautiful car, has to be said. And the lad opens the door and the dad just goes, 3-2, 3-2, and then walks off.
Ha, ha, ha.
And that's it.
Buy a phone. Buy yourself a phone.
Buy yourself a phone.
Not as funny.
Do a FaceTime.
Not really thought of it, has he? Matt, hello to Matt. He's basically thinking that instead of fixed-term deals on footballers' contracts, especially for those content with bench warming while the time runs down, how about players are contracted to the number of appearances or minutes played?
That's a good idea. So
Would that work?
Yeah.
Say that again.
I mean, everything's a pay-to-play, basically.
But the thing is, if you're not getting the team, you can't rack up your appearances.
And then there's the other, then there's precedents for the new Bosmans and stuff like that.
Instead of being on a three-year contract, you're on a 100-appearance contract.
Yeah, exactly. Vet. This is from Vet. Hi, Ramblers. I'm going to request at the top of this email to remain anonymous. Normally, I'd pile straight into the subject of the email, but Peter's been revealing identities left, right and centre of late. How rude.
Yes, yeah.
I'm a vet, a veterinary surgeon, let's make that very clear. And if you... I love the smell of...
come along.
Formaldehyde.
And a few years ago at my old practice, I had the honour of administering a booster vaccination to a dog belonging to none other than Mike Dean.
Ooh, wow, this is good.
It was on a Monday, and I think he'd been involved in some sort of centre stage taking shenanigans at the weekend, though that might be my brain brightening up the memory for a nicer story. On the other hand, it's Mike Dean. He probably did something ludicrous. His dog growled at me constantly, but didn't attempt to bite me. Infer from that what you will about his prowess as a disciplinarian. I remember thinking at the time you guys would probably want to hear about it.
Should he be saying that?
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't know what the statute of limitations is on breaking client confidentiality. The dog might even be dead now.
Oh,
well.
Of course, you should be saying that. We should be encouraging this kind of stuff. It's anonymous.
I asked you the question. You answered it.
The answer is yes.
There we are.
Shotthefootballramble.com.
Well, I think we've got one more email, haven't we, from a certain Jim at thefootballramble.com, and the subject is Dickie Borthwick rides again.
What? I wouldn't call it an email.
Jim's been Googling it while we're talking.
Dickie Borthwick. Okay. And it turns out that at 83 years old, still playing.
Come on.
He's had his booster shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's he playing for, Jim?
He is playing for...
And that article was this year.
Have a look.
This year.
2019.
Oh, hang on.
In case anybody forgot
to find... Oh, hang on. I've read on the article and it's not got a good ending.
Yeah.
No. He's still I'm still available. There's no question about that.
No.
It's the final line.
I'm clipping that.
No question about it.
It doesn't matter who he plays for. The fact is that he's playing. Good on him. He's keeping Pete Dawson out of the team.
Yeah.
So
I love this. Oh, he's without...
Scoring goals like an angel.
Get this. I'm without a club at the moment. Veterans football has become very competitive compared to 10 years ago. 83.
Yeah.
That's you. Very much you.
Yeah.
When does... I worry, though. Yeah. I'd quite like to play for a veterans
joints
team.
Have become very difficult compared to 10 years ago.
I'd like to play for like a veteran team because I'm too old to play proper football.
35 and over, you can play vets.
Yeah, but the problem is, it's going to be those keenos who are really good.
Yeah.
It's going to be people who really want to play because they're really good and competitive.
Also, the hard old men that have calcified.
Where are the people who were terrible in their 20s, even worse in their 30s? Where do we go?
Like me, I've given up.
In the London area.
You come play for our team. That's what you do.
All right.
Time for a quick break, and then after, it's Premier League.
Marcus has made it very clear I can't.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What a screamer that was
by me.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, everybody. It's Premier League.
It's weird that this is how highly we revere the FA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
We relegate Premier League chat to the second half.
That's right.
Can't get that on any other football podcast, I presume. I don't listen to them, but you probably don't.
You might.
Well, it's the big one. It's West Ham versus Huddersfield Town. The big news coming out of West Ham.
Dig of the season, is this? Is this dig of the season by the Irish Football Association?
I could be. Declan Rice has been named Ireland's Young Player of the Year.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well done, everyone.
Been named in the England squad.
That's better than Leeds United's Twitter profile page, because they've just been digging everyone all season. They've been very good.
I think this is along the lines of Jose Mourinho giving Scott McTominay Manager's Player of the Year. It's similar, isn't it?
It is, but I think that's done. This the Ireland one is done with much more humour.
Yeah, true.
Whereas I think Mourinho is doing,
making a point.
That bollocks. Yeah,
is the point that he's now lost his job?
Well, I mean, he has lost. Yeah,
was he fuming about Zizou? Do you think?
Oh, yeah, because there was a lot of talk that he was about to go back to Madrid. Yeah, wasn't there?
I can imagine.
And he said he seldom comment on stuff that really isn't that true or that he doesn't want to happen.
Yeah.
So if he wants it to happen, he said, "I'm still really proud that the Real Madrid fans still sing my name and all this kind of stuff." It was ramping up, and Perez said that he wanted him, and then the ball just went no.
Well, we got. Do you not remember?
Yeah, I love the idea of him,
Zinedine Zidane,
of him flipping open his laptop in the morning and seeing a headline saying "Star announced as return to Real Madrid as manager." And you're thinking, "Oh, hello, hang on a minute,
I haven't even got a call
on the phone to George Mendes." Oh, it's who?
Well done, George.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have preferred it had he looked and David Moyes got the job instead.
Yeah. Champions League win return. Real Madrid return. Doesn't work.
Yes, West Ham, they're playing Huddersfield. You'd fancy the home side with their new England starlet. We presume that's what he's going to go on to do. Declan Rice in the side. The England squad, have you seen it, chaps?
Have.
Mm-hmm. Wan-Bissaka missed out.
I thought that was a very strange decision, personally.
Yeah.
I can understand that Southgate wants to be loyal to his players and that he may not want to play Wan-Bissaka.
Yes.
But to not have him in the squad, I think, he's been absolutely standout.
He's picked three right-backs as well. I suppose Kyle Walker could well be in there as a centre-back. But, yeah, I guess, is it about squad harmony, though? He doesn't want to make one of those players think that they might be being frozen out.
Well, let's pick Bobby Charlton, then.
Let's have Dickie Balthwick in there.
As yet uncapped.
Is squad harmony related to squad freshness, rapper from the World Cup?
Your rap name. Because I think there's a bit of a loyalty involved, and we've seen it. He did it with Jake Livermore. Wasn't really a going concern for the England team, but he said, look, he's helped us out when we needed him. It's the right thing to do, and I understand that. And squad harmony is very important, Jim. I didn't mean to undermine you, but you put Kieran Trippier in there. I mean, he's been awful. He's been dreadful in the big games this season. And he's still in there. And Ruben lost his cheek, Marcus.
Yeah.
Not playing. He's just, I like him. He's a good player and he seems like a lovely chap. But he's not playing football matches.
No.
So why is he in the England team?
I know what you mean.
Anticipating that he will possibly move or just get some games?
But he can't move.
And especially with Chelsea with their embargo and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
They're not going to, they'd be mad to sell him. I think with Wan-Bissaka, Southgate would have said to him, look, I'm not picking you now, but you're definitely future plans, blah, 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 blah.
But he's played youth team for other nations.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Where
I was going with that.
Yeah.
You've got to be very, very careful. I think with Kieran Trippier, he's not had a good season. I think any Spurs fan or otherwise would tell you that. And I think Southgate, it depends if he thinks that it's to the detriment of squad harmony, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, I think Southgate could have said to Trippier, look, I'm leaving you out now.
Your form again.
Exactly, find your form, but you know you're in my plans if you can do that, daddy, daddy, da, and get Bissaka. I was surprised to be perfectly honest with you. With Loftus-Cheek, he obviously believes in him. It's quite simple. Yeah. I mean, we saw him feature in some of the friendlies, the big friendlies before the World Cup. We saw him feature in the World Cup. Southgate knows the player, and he obviously thinks that this guy has got a future, a big future, especially in England side and whatnot. Lingard and Winks are out, so he can bring in one or two. I think it was too early for Walpole. I know he's played well in the last few games, scored a couple of nice free kicks and whatnot, but I wasn't that surprised that he wasn't in there.
I suppose to defend Gareth, he may feel like, you know what, Trippier's not had a brilliant season in the big games he's been wanting. Not now. I was just going to go down the road of, but Southgate maybe thinks, well, I know what he can do for me.
Yeah.
And we're playing Czech Republic and Montenegro, That's not the same as playing, I don't know, Man City or whatever.
Of course.
We will have enough. And I know exactly what he can do and I can rely on him. Mm.
You can't be too fickle because Kieran Trippier was one of England's best players at the World Cup.
Yeah.
So, and that wasn't that long ago. So, yeah, you've got to remember, you don't want to, as I say, be too fickle as a manager. Just be like, right, I'll drop
you. Crushing Pickford in goal for crying out loud because he loses his head of it too many times.
Oh, big Tom Eaton's in there, mate.
Nice to see. Hey, and I think he's number two now.
Can you just keep on rotating though?
He's playing in the Prem now,
mate. You give an England goalkeeper like two seasons, then you're like, oh, he's done. He's a busted flush. Joe Hart, get out.
Are you talking about Burnley or England?
No, I'm talking about England, yeah.
But Joe Hart's not very good, is he?
Joe Hart's gone.
He was very good.
For a bit.
Yeah, he was. Exactly. But, I mean, Joe Hart's not involved in England.
Do we just eat up goalkeepers and go, just get out?
What do you want?
1 year you get and then you're out. It's like a boy band.
Do you want David James back?
That's not how boy bands work, is it?
I think
Gary Barlow's still in Take That.
All right, I'm thinking of the
K-pop bands.
Yeah. All right, K-pop or J-pop bands. Yeah.
Do we eat goalkeepers?
No. Do we eat goalkeepers?
It's a fair question, Jim, and one that no one else has got the balls to ask.
Goalkeeper eaters.
I think we should go away from England now. Go back to West Ham versus Huddersfield. Surely a home win here, chaps. Yeah. I mean, even Huddersfield manager Jan Sievert.
Yeah.
It was angry with his side after their 2-0 loss to Bournemouth last week, and I'm thinking to myself, well, it was only 2-0. But he said he couldn't defend their performance. Suggested that the players by a youngster Aaron Rowe showed no fight at all.
And are we forgetting that West Ham are shite?
They're not that
shite.
They're
ninth, though, aren't they? They're having a funny season. I mean, are they having a good season?
They're having a good season to where they started. And I think I said at the start, I had no fears about them going down. But the last few matches, they have been abhorrent.
Yeah.
Actually, aren't they?
Abhorrent. Mm. They beat Newcastle 2-0.
Yeah.
They have been abhorrent.
I imagine you think that's quite out of order.
Yeah. But I think with West Ham,
you didn't agree with that at all, did you?
Considering what happened last season and all that nonsense.
Mm. I think you're right, Marcus.
And then the start of this season, it looked like it was going to be a continuation of last season. So Pellegrini has steadied the ship. They're in the top half. If they get a top half finish, that's a good season.
Exactly.
And that's the end of it.
He's brought a huge amount of calmness to the team.
Yep.
And it's easy to forget they spent a lot of money. Now, I know that can work out for you. Yep. They could have easily gone the way of Fulham.
Yep.
Unrest off the pitch last season. Unrest on the pitch last season. All sorts of protests against the ownership.
They had no rest at all.
They spend loads of money to bring players in. Pellegrini's done a brilliant job. He's such an experienced manager to harmonise that side. They're definitely inconsistent. Sometimes you look at them and think, oh, they're terrible.
Everyone's inconsistent apart from the top two. Yeah. Even Spurs aren't, at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's fair.
I understand what you mean.
Until they give Noble a stand. I will not be happy.
You've got to say, statistically...
A noble stand, if you
statistically,
will.
Huddersfield are one of the worst Premier League teams we've seen this season. You know, last season, I think West Brom and Stoke went down losing 19 games. Mm. Huddersfield lost 22 already.
Yeah,
I'm going to stick my neck out here and I'm going to say that Huddersfield are going to win.
Huddersfield have played 30 games in the Premier League this season and have scored 15 goals.
Yeah, I mean,
that's one goal every other game.
They look like a team that are playing centre-half up front, don't they? Like, and I think other than Philip Billing and Aaron Moy, you wouldn't look at many of those players getting moves to the Premier League.
I think Billing's a good player.
They've punched so heavily above their weight to get into the Premier League and then stay there. And I think that's just catching up with them now.
I think Sievert, he's, I admire his spirit trying to get everybody going and whatnot. That's obviously he's been brought in to save them. But
it's a big job. It's a big job for him, isn't it?
It is, of course. Yeah. But the thing is, with those Huddersfield players, they know they're pretty much down. They're not scoring at all. They've not got much quality in there. It's slightly different for Fulham, where you think, hang on a minute, we've got some good players. You know, we have scored a few goals a season. I mean, I think Fulham are going to go down. But with Huddersfield, it must be so hard to get them motivated, because really, they want the end of the season to come now.
I think the difference is Fulham should be ashamed of themselves and Huddersfield shouldn't necessarily.
I agree with
that. The points return and the way they've gone about it at Huddersfield, in terms of statistically, I haven't checked, but I presume they're one of the worst Premier League teams ever. That's obviously bad, but no one realistically expected them to stay up last season. Mm. And they've lost their quite inspirational coach and leader this year, who just said, look, I've had enough. Mm. And that's going to affect you. Fulham have got no excuse at all.
Yeah. Having spent that amount of money and blah, blah, blah. Mm. There we are. Let's move on to Everton versus Chelsea. Pickford, still England's number one, of course, despite Joe Hart still being alive.
You just said he was number two.
I said Heaton was number two.
Listen to anything.
Is that where that came from? You thought he said that.
No, people have been saying all this week that Pickford goes missing. He doesn't go missing. He loses his head too much, and he should be England's number two. Is he good enough to be England's number one?
Yes.
When you play in goal for Perfidious, are they still called that?
Yes.
Do you lose your head sometimes?
It's my hands that are the main problem. Hands and height.
Overall attitude, probably. Yeah. I couldn't be arsed.
You can't
get
playing the giddy goat.
You can't get through a game of FIFA without getting bored. So God knows how you do a whole goalkeeping stint in
it. It is boring, though, isn't it?
Also, yeah. Did you mishear that as Tom's Eaton?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't he out the beautiful south?
Aren't we all? Pickford's in there. What about Marcus Silva charged with improper conduct after confronting match officials last week? Quite in vogue at the moment, that. Pochettino, yeah. Of course.
Should they have like kind of a representative that's allowed to pass notes to the referee or something? Because the captain's allowed to approach and shout at the referee.
Yeah, so sort of like a go-between.
Yeah.
Like a
why is the manager not allowed to give match officials what for?
The lip reader said that Marcus Silva was saying to the referee,
I think you're sexy.
My team has just lost 3-2 after being 2-0 up against Newcastle. Yeah. Somebody give me some sympathy. Yeah. I think that's fair enough.
It can't be all our fault. Have someone
have
else.
You got an ibuprofen?
Pete, are Everton abhorrent for being 2-0 up against Newcastle United in the league?
That is, and it, just think of how much they've spent as well. Yeah. That, if I was an Everton fan, I would be. It's tearing up season ticket time, isn't it, really?
Would you be driving 110 miles?
Everton still on for a top half finish, but losing 3-2 at Newcastle, having led 2-0.
They should be putting the relegation on. They should be putting the relegation on. Yeah.
Dot points.
Well, according to Sky Sports, Everton have taken just 7 points from 15 games against the current top half teams, with their only win coming away to Leicester back in October. And now with Brendy Rodgers in charge, you wouldn't think they would win at Leicester these days, but of course they won't have the chance because they've played them this season already. A home to Chelsea. Yeah, we're still waiting for Everton to
They're just not very good against big teams. We said it all season. Yeah. You don't need that stat to know, but it's good to have confirmation that Silva thinks he's like Guardiola or something, doesn't he?
Yeah. Why he's got the touchline ban. He's like seen it happen to Pochettino and going, that seems like what the elite guys are doing.
Everyone's doing that. Uh-huh. Get a new contract if I do that.
Damn right. Yeah.
It's an interesting one, though, isn't it? Because Chelsea themselves have been a little bit inconsistent. And though, you know, Sarri's steadied it of late, you feel like there's always another wobble in there.
I think they'll use this chance to sort of look at some players, some fringies.
Yeah, he can't. They need top four.
They have a chance to gain some ground on the top four, of course.
The game in hand.
I forgot to league in at the knock it. My brain's gone. Sorry, guys.
Yeah again,
if it
listen,
was ever there.
But if
shut your mouth.
Okay. That'll make it better, won't it?
Yeah. Yes.
If they win, they'll move level on points with Arsenal on 61 behind Spurs and 2 above Man United. So despite this kind of terrible season, they are right in there. Yeah. And this is a game that you would fancy them to win. I know they've not been superb, but they are playing Everton, who've struggled against big sides, as we know. And they're right in there. You know, 1 point behind Spurs they could be at the end of the weekend. And this is a side, Spurs, not that long ago we were talking about, well, could they have an outside chance of the title?
But isn't this indicative, though, of firstly, the sort of microscope that the top six live under, where any sort of setback is seen as this massive disaster. When actually, if you look at the table, it's not, with Chelsea as the particular example, it's not that bad.
No. I know. Well, I mean, and the top six is so clearly defined at the moment. And you just, if not for some sort of billionaire or, I don't know, a disaster for somebody else. And I know Leicester won the league not that long ago, but for that top six to be disrupted, you think to yourself, I know football, it can change very quickly these days, especially. But at the moment, you just can't see that happening anytime soon. But, you know, for me, Chelsea are a favourite to win that. I'd fancy them to go on and do it. Although that is the type of game where Silva, if Everton can win that game, it does put down a kind of a hang on a minute. There's a marquee result this season. And I think Everton are missing a marquee result or two because it can pay them to Leicester. Leicester fans will think, well, we beat Man City and Chelsea this season. So they've got one or two of those results.
But they're similar teams because Leicester just see off managers all the time. And it feels like Everton do as well. I think they need to stick with him.
I do as well. I don't think they're doing badly. I mean, they're in that other pack. You've got the top six and then you've got, the Wolves. We've spoken about the Wolves. Yeah.
Particularly Man City and Liverpool. I mean, points-wise, have been so good.
Yeah.
Like, so good.
But Everton going to get the Everton place? Because Everton's place is just outside the European place.
People were thinking, go for seventh. That's a chance there. There's still a chance, of course.
Well, they're 3-1 Everton to win this one. £10 with Bet365 returns £40, including stake.
There we are. And while you're there, Luke, what's our best bet with Bet365?
Our best bet is, well, listen, Joshua Gibson is still in the hot seat because of his win last time around.
Going for a double.
Back in on Vardy's party. this time around, well, I'll just let him take it up. He says, hello, Ramblers. Very happy to get that first win under the belt and win some money for charity. For my next bet, I was close to choosing to back my team Man United and piggybacking on Solskjaer's Midas touch, but have decided to instead back my family's club, West Ham. Not the most consistent of teams, as we've heard from Peter, but they have been playing well at home recently. So I'm going for a West Ham win against Huddersfield and both teams to score. And it comes in at 11-4. So £50 return, £187.50. That's West Ham to win against Huddersfield with both teams to score at 11-4.
I'll be honest with you. I thought to myself, West Ham to win, that's a bit of a safe bet. And both teams to score. Whoa.
Yeah, he's really stuck his neck out.
You better hope this is one of those games that others don't actually get a goal. It will return £187.50, including stake, and all proceeds go to Prostate Cancer UK, of course. 18 plus and gamble responsibly. For more information, go to begambleaware.org.
All right, it's now time for Going for Glow.
So, and the time is right. It's time for you, for you to play the game. These people are coming, everyone's trying to be here the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stage.
A lot of people have been mentioning that it still sounds like me going saying so.
Yeah,
and my mate Joe said I should replace it one week and see if anybody notices.
Have you just done that? Is that what you did?
No.
Give it away.
That would be work. Hello to I love this nom de plume. Narco pigeon.
Narco pigeon.
Presumably used for sending messages, etc. I was born on August 14th, 1967. I want six clues in this one, guys, so heads on.
August 14th, 1967. Stop. Is it Ian Wright?
Incorrect. Number two. Over the course of my career, I made over 500 senior first-team appearances in Ligue 1, the Premier League, the Danish Superliga, Serie A, the Scottish Premier League, and the Belgian First Division.
Bloody hell, he gets around.
Can you read those leagues again, Pete?
Over the course of my career, I made over 500 senior first-team appearances in Ligue 1, the Premier League, Danish Superliga, Serie A, the Scottish Premier League, and the Belgian First Division.
Stop. I can't think of
Frank Leboeuf.
Incorrect.
I think I might have it, but I can't bloody remember his name.
Well, then you haven't got it.
I mean, I do this every week, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, you should listen to the rules, Mark.
Carry on, Peter. Can you have it without his name? I mean, that's the old
answer. I'm not claiming to win. I'm just saying
well, that's good.
I've got a player and I can't... Go on, carry on.
Do you want to give us a clue?
No.
Yeah. Number three. In 1995, I lifted the Intertoto Cup alongside Zinedine Zidane.
Wow.
So!
Stop. Oh, no. Christophe Dugger. It's not
incorrect.
Rubbish.
Is that who you thought it was?
No. I don't think it was who I thought it was before. Guess what, guys? I don't have it.
Welcome to Mark's mind.
But I might have it in a bit.
Carry on.
Stop. Stefan Givarsh.
Incorrect, but enjoyable.
Lovely, Jim. Lovely.
Oh, stop. Is it Didier Deschamps?
Incorrect. Number four. In 2002, I was named in the Ligue 1 Team of the Year.
Stop. Basil Boli.
Incorrect.
Basil Boli.
I think he might play for Lyon.
In 1996, I assisted an Andy Cole goal on my Premier League debut.
Stop, Jesper Blomqvist.
Incorrect. Second final clue that was.
So he... Okay. Stop.
Go on, Morsi.
Is it Tino Asprilla?
Incorrect.
For Man United?
No, but he's thinking Newcastle, maybe.
They played together.
But they didn't.
Already gone by then, okay.
Stop. David Ginola?
Incorrect.
Oh, that's mad.
My second appearance in the Premier League was my last.
Oh, okay.
Oh, stop. Luke Nillis.
Incorrect.
Bollocks. Yeah, why did I just... That's what this game does to you. Yeah, I immediately think...
That was the last clue, Marcus.
Yeah, I know, I've gone.
Second appearance in the Premier League was his last.
Yes.
He only played twice in the Premier League.
See, yeah, I just thought he played in Belgium. Wow, he played...
So he's basically... He played for Newcastle, but he was dreadful.
Yeah, or old, or injured.
Let me give you the fifth clue. Okay. In 1996, I assisted an Andy Cole goal on my Premier League debut.
Oh, 96.
Oh, it's 96. Sorry. Okay, right. So, okay, fine.
I'm helping out there by
Man United.
Going back over the clues.
Sorry, that's thrown me that because for some reason I thought it was the.
As you've gone back,
have I had my last one? Haven't I?
No, you haven't had your last one in the last clue.
Have I? I think I
might
have done.
You've not had your last clue.
No, Marcus Simon says he had Luke Nillis. Mm.
Yeah, which was very poor. Because I just thought, oh, he only played a couple of games in Belgium.
He broke his leg badly, Luke.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've got a guess, and I've got a guess. But I can't think of anyone.
It's a Man United player.
Go on, Jim.
So, Mark is in the. Why don't you give them a little bit of help?
Well, I am.
One of them has to win.
I know I am trying to, but I can't.
No, if we don't get it, you win.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. Yeah. I don't know, so I've got nothing.
No, come on, come on. You've got to have a go here.
I've got nothing.
No,
So we're Manchester United, bit of a journeyman, but he did 500 senior first year appearances, played in Scotland, Belgium.
Can I?
Ligue 1.
Stop. Is it Laurent Blanc?
Incorrect.
Oh. No, he had more appearances.
Thinking, but he's
Jim.
Well,
look, we've got. Can I suggest?
This is a radio show, so you have a guess or not guess.
Is it a goalkeeper?
Am I allowed to? Am I allowed to
say
yes or no?
I mean, this is
yes.
Jim, have you had a guess?
You can't, can you? I think I have.
Just say Massimo Taibbi.
Too late. I can't now because it's yours, isn't it? I think Pete's won. What's happened here?
Have you got a little Pete?
Is it Massimo Taibbi?
Narco Pigeon has won.
Yeah,
and it's. William Prunier.
Of course.
Pete wins. I never win, so I've not made a stab for myself. Well, Pete wins.
It's all right. Just
so, Pete wins.
Oh, I can't find the Luke Wins one.
Yeah, it's hard. It's difficult when people think of that.
That's a frustrating one.
I can't remember him.
Because he's one of those, like, worst ever.
He was a scandalously bad defender for United.
But, to be fair, I mean, if he only played a few times, it seems unfair, but we should have known that. He's on, and the time is right. It's time for you. But you would have played a game. As people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for gold.
Well done, Narco Pigeon.
Yeah.
Well done,
Pete.
I'm going through a drought.
Pete doesn't get any credit at all. He doesn't come up with a clue.
Well done, Pete, for running a really tight quiz.
Yeah. It was really tight. You losers lost.
Narco Pigeon gets the points.
No. I get the points, as the rules stated.
Do you remember back in the day, this used to be, Pete was supposed to do the clue?
Yeah, then he couldn't be bothered doing it.
Yeah.
And now the listeners do.
Pathetic, isn't it?
I know.
Let's get out of here.
All right, then. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview.
This is my last Football Ramble.
Sponsored by Bet365. Pete, don't go. We were only joking, man.
You can't work the iPad.
Call his bluff.
I can work the iPad. There you are. I'm doing it now. thank you very much, everybody. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
See ya.
See you on Monday, everybody.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.